Content in this episode may contain information and discussions of grief and trauma, childbirth, sexual assault, racial discrimination, pregnancy, violence, or mental health and more, which some listeners could find triggering. This podcast is not intended for young listeners, so please listen responsibly. If you find yourself being triggered or affected by the content of this podcast, please reach out to a mental health professional in your area or call a national hotline for support. Welcome to the Twisted Sisterhood Podcast, hosted by Ashley Mitchell and Kelsey Vandervliet Ranyard, a podcast by birth moms for birth moms to give a platform to a silenced voice in the triad. You can find us on Instagram at Twisted Sisterhood Podcast, on Facebook at Twisted Sisterhood, and Twitter at Birth Mom Podcast. Give us a follow and use our hashtag, There Goes the Sisterhood. And if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair.
Twisted Sisterhood, back to our podcast. This is your co-host, Ashley Mitchell, coming at you from Utah. I've been joined, obviously, by my fearless leader and main host, Kelsey, in California.
How am I the main host?
I just feel like you are. I feel like you should be.
Thank you.
I was going to say it's alphabetical, but my name's Ashley, so I win. It's fine.
Well, we have a very special guest today. Yes. Shonda is a birth mom of almost 6 years. She's an adoptee from foster care. She's a full-time nursing student. She's working two jobs, living life as fully as she can. Her heart is focused on educating others on adoption and what role birth parents take in the whole spectrum of adoption. She speaks at local schools and events, started a support group in her Montana town of Bozeman, as well as setting up and running events to bring all members of the triad together to share sacred space and stories. Welcome, Shonda.
Hello.
Hey.
Super excited to have you. Shonda and I met, 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
We were on a panel together in Orlando, and she's awesome. And I've always liked keeping in touch with her. So we're super excited to have you on today.
Thank you.
Yes, and I've been able to follow Shonda just through social media. We've talked many times, and you've done events and stuff that I've been able to help promote and share, and I'm excited. I mean, I haven't met you in person, but I mean...
I feel like we're friends.
I feel like... Oh, good! We're friends! Internet friends. Internet friends are real friends, Kelsey. Okay. Come on.
Yeah. I was in Utah once, and you were like, you're in Utah, and I was like, oh my God, you live here. And then I was leaving the next day.
So well, it's like we met, kind of. Sure, yeah, let's go with that. We were in the same place at the same time.
Exactly.
That is tender. So, Shonda, we want to give you just a minute to just introduce yourself, give us a little bit of background about who you are, and then we definitely have some things we want to dive into, but we wanted to give you a chance to just share with our fellow sisterhood just a little bit about who you are and kind of what this journey has looked like for you becoming a birth mother.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, as you said, I am an adoptee myself, so my whole life has pretty much just been centered around adoption. I was adopted from foster care. I lived in foster care until I was 3, but I lived in foster care with my brother, who is 3 years older than me, and so collectively we've had a lot of time in foster care. We were very lucky enough, though, to stay in one house the whole entire time we were in foster care, which is very, very unusual, but it definitely was a experience in itself. It was I was very lucky to have a great family, but the whole overall system of foster care is very screwed up, as all of us know. So there was a lot of shady shit that went on in the state of Montana, and just the way things were handled were not very good. So I have slowly become more aware of this as I've gotten older and dived more into my adoption story. But yeah, like I said, I have been around adoption my whole entire life. And so when I ended up getting pregnant, My first thought was definitely adoption, just because I saw how my life turned out. And despite all the shitty things that happened when I was little, I mean, overall, I'm very thankful for my adoption story. So that's all I wanted for my son, who I placed. And just to have the access and the, you know, the accessibility of all the things that I couldn't provide at the time. So it's been a very, very awesome experience. I have a very open adoption with him. He lives here in Bozeman with me in the same town. So wow. We get to see each other a lot more than I originally thought that I wanted when I placed him. So that was kind of a cool experience. So it's just been a overall really, I mean, a very good experience. Obviously, like, it's not all good, but you know, I couldn't be happier with the situation. So
I definitely want to dive into talking about your open adoption experience and what it's like living in the same town and all those things. But I definitely want to come back to just touching on the foster care piece for a minute, because and Kelsey, please feel free to jump in, but we're going to just dive right in with like really big topic right off the bat. Okay. Because we don't do anything halfway. So you guys know that about us. So coming from the foster care system, when you found yourself pregnant, how old were you when you?
I was 20 when I found out.
Okay. So we have family preservation groups that come at us all the time that are always on top of us. You know, you can't promote adoption, you need to keep families together, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And both of us, Kelsey and I, and you can speak to this, Kelsey, too, but we are big advocates. If the families can stay together, they should stay together. Yes. 100%. But I don't believe that family preservation is always the best or right choice. And you will never convince me. This is just adoption according to Ashley. Okay. So this is just totally my own opinion. You'll never convince me that setting a mom up to parent and then coming home from the hospital and their child going into the system anyway is better than making an open adoption plan. So, and coming from somebody who went through the system, who is learning more and more about the system, and also found herself pregnant and went to adoption versus maybe trying to parent. You said very boldly that like adoption was your choice. I want to know just from you, because I want to learn how much of your experience in foster care changed your perspective to say, I'm not even going to risk putting myself in that position to lose my child or maybe you said, I mean, I would just love to hear from you from that family preservation space, what that played a role in for you.
Oh yeah, totally. I think it played majorly into my role just to like choosing adoption for my son, just because, so like, just to give you a little background of like, there's four siblings of mine. So my oldest sister never got adopted. She got raised by our biological dad. And that was a whole different experience. I have another sister who was a planned adoption, was open, was placed, like planned everything.
Like from the hospital?
My brother and then me. Mm-hmm. And my brother was shuffled around from family member to family member in our biological family until I was born. And then the state of Montana both took my brother and I into foster care. Okay. And so, I mean, that just like touches on a whole different like ball game of like the emotional connections my brother had with family and being shuffled around and blah, blah, blah. And so, I, like I said, I was lucky enough to have that one stable home from the time I was born until I was adopted. And my brother on the other case was not. The purpose was to keep us together. So that's why we were in foster care. And when it came down to it, it was not a good place for my brother to be adopted by my family. He was supposed to go back to our foster family, and instead he got placed with another family in the same town as us. So I got raised by my, like, with my brother side by side by two different families in the same small ass tiny
house. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. What a shit show.
And that's why we ended up moving to Bozeman, because we like literally could not live in the same town. It was just too emotional. But so that's like, it made me a huge believer in, like, yeah, of course families should stay together. Like, that's obviously a very good, like, idea. Like, you want everyone to be together. That's what it is. But, like, it's not about family staying together. It's what's ideally best for what the child needs. Mm. And sometimes that is not what the family can provide. And that's, like, a harsh reality. Mm-hmm. But, like, I knew that, like, I was 20. I was not, like, a teen parent. And I had a place to live. Mm-hmm. And I did have a job. But, I mean, it was a minimum wage job. It was, you know, I didn't have a car. I was living with really weird roommates. Like, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
I know, right?
Sometimes we've been living in our car. It's fine. It's fine.
Right. So I could do this. I could. But, like, mm-hmm. that's not what's best. And I know my life is probably just going to get even messier and more complicated. And, like, yeah, I could parent. But, like, that's why I said I was very much, like, this is what's best for my son, and that just means that sometimes family isn't the best, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so, I really appreciate you sharing that, because there's just, your reality is that it just wasn't the best for you to be together, and you guys still found a way to be, you and your brother still found a way to be together.
Right.
And make your family happen, but it didn't have to look like this. Biological families have to live under the same roof and do all these things. So I just want to ask you a quick side note question, and you can tell me to jump off a cliff if you don't want to answer this. And then Kelsey can take it with the next question, but I'm just curious. So what is your, do you have any kind of relationship with your biological mother or parents of any kind at this point?
I just recently, within the last couple weeks, actually. So I've been Facebook friends with my biological mom for a couple years, but I sent her this big long message. I've very been hesitant about meeting any of them my whole entire life. My one thing is that I wanted to meet all of my siblings, which I have done. I was just like, no, it's not a big deal, but she added me on Facebook, and I was like, okay, you know, that's kind of safe, I guess, you know. I don't know. Safe. But, I sent her this big, long message, because she, like, started sharing things on my wall, being like, no matter how old your baby gets, she's still your baby, like,
wow.
Blah, blah, blah. Wow. And I sent her this big long message that was like, I'm sorry, but, like, you don't know who I am. I don't know you. Like, I would love to build a relationship, but, like, you can't just be like, I'm your mom, I love you.
So she was projecting a lot onto you through your adoption placement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I like completely cut her off. And just recently I ended up connecting with her, kind of. We had like a 20-minute phone call, and it was just like the most awkward thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I mean, I want to build this relationship, but I just, like, haven't figured out what I want and need from it. And so we kind of have a relationship, but not to the extent of like a normal relationship.
I'm
not
sure there's
a normal relationship in this reunification kind of thing. So
I'm sure there's so much complexity and heartbreak and weird feelings, and I'm sure that people who just maybe haven't had access to get the help that they need have just the hardest time processing, and it's kind of like impossible to figure it all out. And I'm sure she's just doesn't know where to begin, and she just acts on emotion, and you know,
exactly. Like, that's what's so different is, like, I mean, she's never talked to anybody about the mm-hmm. situation in the 27 years since I was born.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's me, who's been in therapy since my son was born. Like,
yes.
So, like, I've had time to process and, like, grieve my feelings and, like, still work on those things. And this is the first time that she's like, oh my God, adoption, blah blah blah, this is all my feelings. And I'm like, whoa.
Yes. My mind is like exploding right now because I'm like, so we talk all the time, you know, like moms that come through foster care and relinquish the rights to their children come through such a different path than those that choose adoption and pursue adoption, mm-hmm. which Shonda, you did, but you watched your mom come through the system in such a different way. And now you're an adoptee processing reunification and all this craziness, and you're in this wide open adoption.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So you're sitting in birth mom hat over here and like, oh, I have this amazing adopted family and I love my child and we're 6 years in and things are good. But then on the flip side, you're over here going, hey, crazy, you're not my mom. And I'm trying to process this. Like my mind is like exploding. I don't know how you're like.
I know. I don't upright. Know how I'm keeping it together, honestly.
This is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Okay. So let's transition into talking about your adoption relationship. So you find yourself pregnant. Tell us about picking a family. Like, what did that process look like? Where are you at? Like, what did that, just paint a picture for us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said before, like my immediate thought was definitely adoption. But I was like not very open about that with other people in my life, just because I was like scared of being shamed for that. Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
No, everyone's been so nice to me.
I definitely like regret that looking back now, because I definitely pushed away a lot of people that could have supported me in my decision to place my son. But I mean, ultimately I knew I was going to pick adoption. But because I was like being weird about it with everyone else, I went to the adoption agency that I placed through like late in the game. I was like already 6 months pregnant. I didn't pick a family until I was like 8 months pregnant. Like, so I really didn't have that much time to feel like I built a relationship with the family before. I feel like I've talked to other birth moms and stuff that are like, oh, I picked a family so early on. We have like 6 months to get to know each other. And I mean, obviously I have like relationships with other birth moms that are like, I picked the family after I had the kid in the hospital. So like,
yeah, I was less than a month. So we right. were very
I was
similar.
Like 6 months, I think. I was one of those.
Yeah. And so, I mean, like we managed to meet up twice before I had Carson, but like, I definitely just like, I had very specific things that I wanted when I was looking for a family. Obviously, I wanted a very open adoption, but when I was saying I wanted a very open adoption, I was like, well, I would like to have like a couple meetings a year. Like, I want to see him mm-hmm. a couple times, you know, and I would love to like get pictures and stuff like that. Like, but I mean, ideally, like it's evolved into like this whole different, like I see him like at least once a month. We talk all the time. Like it's a very open, mm-hmm. but that was like one of my biggest things, picking the family. Also, I did ideally want someone within like an hour or two of Bozeman, just because I didn't have a
Montana's
car.
A big state.
Yeah, like you easily drive like 6 hours to get to the next town.
And that's a lot of country in between yeah. you and
and I didn't realize that was weird to anybody else until I like went to other states and they're like, oh, the next town's like 20 minutes over. And I'm like, what?
I'm literally connected to like, I can look out each window and see two different cities. Like it's right. fine.
No,
yeah.
That's not a thing here. And so she did give me some profiles of couples in Bozeman, and she was just like, we don't normally do this because a lot of birth parents find it very hard to like know that they potentially could run into them like
at the grocery store
yeah. or something, you know. And I like didn't fully process that. I was like, okay, like that's weird. Like,
do you run into them?
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
Oh, see, I did that once and I thought it was weird.
Really?
When I lived in the same city, yeah, I did. And I was like, but I have a different personality.
Right. Yeah.
So it just depends.
I've only run into them one time in the 6 years, and it was like just recently, like a year ago. So we're like totally like, oh my God, hi friend. It probably would have been different if it was like the first couple of years after placing him, but like I never ran into them. So
I totally would have been like, am I supposed to act like you're my therapist and pretend I don't know you? Like, this is so awkward. Like, like, it would be so weird. So, because Derek and I, we live in the same state.
Yeah.
We're both in Utah, but they're like 3 hours, they're 3.5 hours away. So they're far enough away that we don't have that kind of awkward interaction, but they're close enough to like plan meetups and stuff. But I would feel like, oh my gosh, is this like patient doctor confidentiality? Like, I don't know if we're supposed to acknowledge each other in public. That'd be so weird.
Seriously though.
Okay, so Shonda, you were very specific about location and all those things. You knew what you wanted going into this, but you only had like a month to connect with this family and try and get to know them. And I'm the same way. My son's family had, I sent them a fax over their fax machine in March 6th. And Derek was born April 4th. So it was a very small time. I was also able to see them twice before I had my very first ultrasound. Like, it was crazy. It was a crazy time. Anyway, so I know like that, like, oh my gosh, I picked you, but you literally are a stranger to me. Really? And I invited him to the hospital to come and be there for all of that. And I didn't know anything about them.
That's so, so funny.
Yeah. So tell me, did you invite them to the hospital? Cause you guys lived in the same, what did that look like for you?
Yeah. I was like very, intentional about, like, I didn't want them to come up until after he was born. So,
oh, okay.
I wanted the whole like labor process and everything to be like my own. Because like, that's, you know, that's obviously my time to have him and him to be mine and stuff. So, but I was in labor for like 17 hours.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. So like my parents were there, but like when it came to like him actually being born, it was just me and, the dad, but whole different story. It was actually not Carson's dad, whole different. Different thing. But
put a pin in that. Just stick a little pin in that.
We can go back to that. That's a whole different story. Yeah, so I was like, I'll get a hold of you, or I'll have my social worker get a hold of you once he's here. Then you can come up, because I mean, I want you to be able to have those moments when he's first born, but also like I don't want you like hovering over me, because you get to have him the rest of your life and I don't, you know, like this is my time. And so I ended up having Carson at like 1 a.m. And so the following, like 6 hours later, my social worker messaged them to come up to the hospital. And then luckily it was not very busy at labor and delivery at the hospital here. So they ended up giving them a room right next to my postpartum room. So they were like separate from me, but also were there to see Carson. So I got to have time with Carson, spend time with him. And then when I was like feeling overwhelmed, or I felt like he just like needed to like leave the room instead of like sending him to the nursery, he got to like go to their room.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really cool, it worked out really perfect. That's totally not what I expected would happen, but I also am very, very thankful that's how it worked out. They have an older son who is 4 years older than Carson, and I had not met him before. In all the meetings we had done, we like chose to not have him there because he was 4 and rambunctious, and we're like, this is a serious thing. We need to talk about like crazy life choices and, you know, but it actually ended up being super, super hard having him at the hospital because he didn't really get the whole concept of adoption. And I could tell his parents had tried to explain it to him, you know, but the way that a 4-year-old says topics sometimes comes off not very nice.
You mean a 4-year-old doesn't completely grasp the concept of adoption?
No.
That's crazy.
So, like, the day that Carson was going home from the hospital, his older brother was like, oh, we get to take him home and you don't. And I was just like, not good word choices.
I'm going to punch you in your face.
Yep.
So I'm actually really impressed that you were such an advocate for yourself at that time in the hospital about like, this is my time. I want to be able to have this time. Because for me, I didn't even know that I could be an advocate for myself. I didn't know I could have that time, you know? And so did you have a caseworker or somebody that was very like adamant about educating you on that? Or did you just go into that knowing, because I didn't know that going into it. His family was there all the time and it was so much. Looking back now, I wish people would have kicked him out every once in a while. So right. I was actually very impressed with you stating that you were like, no, I know this hospital's my time. You're going to have him for the rest of your life. Give me these 3 days. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge advocate for that. But when it was me personally 14 years ago, I didn't know that. So did you have someone that was really educating you on that? Or was that just ingrained in you that you just already knew?
I mean, I kind of knew, but I definitely, my social worker through the adoption agency I went through was there the whole entire time, the hospital, and basically was just like, you tell me what you need and I will make it happen. And she very much, like, I was very, very fortunate to have her, and like she did tons of like pre-placement counseling with me. Like we talked about like hospitals and how that worked and stuff. So I like was definitely having major advocate for what I wanted and what I could have that I didn't necessarily think that I could.
That's awesome. I think that's can be such a unique experience because in my experience, a lot of social workers and attorneys and whoever else has their hands in the pot, they usually kind of encourage the adoptive parents to open up a little bit more, but discourage the birth parents from asking for more or advocating for themselves because I think they're trying to keep the balance and stability so that this adoption goes through, first of all. But I also just think they're trying to make it less complicated, which ends up hurting so many people in the process. But that's so awesome that you didn't have that. Like that wasn't a factor for you guys. And you guys have had this successful open adoption for 6 years. I mean, what is that? You guys have visits, you know, probably once a month, but what does that look like for you? For me, I have to really process heavily before I have a visit and after. What does that look like for you? Because it's so routine.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has gotten more normal and just like, I wouldn't say easier because I don't think even frequent visits are easy. Sure. I am always constantly torn between like, I chose adoption for a reason, you know, like I want you to have the stability of, you know, your parents and your family and your house. And, you know, like Carson knows who I am. He knows like I'm his birth mom, but like, I don't want to have this like awkward interruption of like, oh, I just like randomly show up, you know, like once a month and we just like hang out for a day and then I leave again. But also like, I crave that, like knowing he's at his, you know, home and has that stability that I did want and I get to be a part of it. Like it's reassurance over and over and over that I did pick a good family. You know, he's safe. He's well taken care of. He has everything he possibly could ever want and need, you know? So it definitely is still a struggle. I definitely have to like pep myself up to be like, oh, okay. Like, you know, this doesn't have to be very serious. Like, I think I get too much in my head sometimes being like, okay, I'm gonna overthink it. Like, what is he gonna think? I'm just gonna randomly come, you know? Like,
yeah.
So I kind of have taken this like, oh, he knows who I am, but I'm just gonna come and like hang out and have a good time. Like, that's the only thing that's supposed to happen.
Sure. Do you think I think all the time about the future, like, oh my God, what questions is he going to ask me? But you have such a different perspective because you are an adoptee. So do you ever, what is your perspective on that? Like, when he comes to you someday, you know, when he's not 6 years old anymore and like has real hard questions to ask you, does that scare you at all? Or does that make you more comfortable with that?
No, it absolutely scares the shit out of me.
That's comforting that we're all scared shitless.
Like he's still to this date, like he's only six and he like still kind of asks me questions that are like in a 6 year old way, but like the motive of the question is way serious. And I'm like, you're only six. I can't handle this. Like, how am I going to do this when you're a teenager, an adult, and have all these crazy
life? Wait till they're 14.
I'm like thinking of you with your teenage son. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead, Kelsey. You were going to say something.
No, I was just chatting shit. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
I was just going to move it on. So Shonda, you have done amazing work in the community for birth mothers. You have a huge heart to serve them. You've shown up in retreats and events, and you started your own group in Montana because you love the women so much. You have a heart for it. You want to serve them. I'm just curious. First of all, I would love for you to share a little bit about what you're doing in your local area. So if there are women in the area that can get connected to you, please share. But I also would be curious to know in what ways that has been super helpful for your healing and in what ways it has been hurtful to your healing, because I know it comes with both. Kelsey and I both can attest to that. Yeah. Being an advocate and showing up and sitting in those spaces is powerful for healing. I know for my own journey, but it also has come with maybe added
exhaustion.
Yeah. And wounds that necessarily haven't been helpful.
Yes.
I mean, I don't go into trauma therapy 14 years later, just because on my own, like it's because of all you crazy bitches that I've been working on
for real.
And I love you or I wouldn't be here, but it's a lot. And you willingly walked into this, you had a heart for it. So just tell me a little bit, all of us, about kind of where your desire to serve and how you were proactive about it and starting your group, etc., and then kind of how it's helped and hurted, not hurted.
It hurted. Hurted me.
I'm thinking about the spelling. I'm like, what is this post going to look like? How it's helped and hurt you in your own journey. What does that look like?
Yeah, for sure. I have always been the kind of person to go above and beyond for others. I'm a type 2 on Enneagram, so I'm the caretaker. I find love in helping other people. And so I just know that I have been super, super, super fortunate to have people show up and stand in those hard spaces with me, which has been very beneficial. So, I mean, that's really what pulled my heart in that direction, to provide that for people who didn't have that, you know. But equally, like you said, that's hurt me because, like, I still sit in my grief. I still, you know, am figuring shit out day by day. And so showing up for other people and processing probably feelings that they're bringing up that I haven't processed opens up wounds that I haven't even thought about, you know? And it's just emotionally draining, but also life-giving in a weird way. I don't know how to explain it, but like I feed off that energy of like knowing that I can be a resource for that and connect them with other resources if I don't have the answer, you know, and I'm just like a social butterfly. So like my method is like getting people together and just talking and, you know, having energies with all of us together, and throwing parties. Like I did a party for National Adoption Month and had birth moms show up, and we just like sat around and drank wine and like made crafts and just like not necessarily just talked about adoption, but like just talked about life, you know? And that's also another part of why it can be hard, you know, putting yourself out there and focusing so much on other people, because yeah, I am an adoptee and I'm a birth mom and I love helping other people, but like, I'm Shonda too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I am so much more than just a birth mom and adoption advocate, you know. So yeah. It's like, I have to find that balance. Like I go hard in the like, I love everyone in adoption and I want to help you, and then you'll find me just like suck myself back in and be like, don't talk to me, I need to like bake a cake and be by myself, and that's it.
Yeah, people all the time are like, oh my gosh, like birth moms, and I love you guys listening, really, but it's, you don't have to be an advocate and be able to help other people and share your story and have a national platform doing it. That, right. That doesn't have to be your thing. You don't have to start support groups. You don't have to mm-hmm. be a speaker. You don't have to do those things, because it's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it is really hard to go all in and that is all that you are, and then you're like, yeah, I'm gonna just disappear for about 6 months, you're not gonna see me again for a while.
Yep. Yes. Pretty much.
Yes. So Shonda, we like to conclude all of our guest podcasts with this one question. We like to ask this because this answer is different for everybody and we want to know what your response is. So what is the biggest roadblock for you in your post-placement healing?
Yeah, I definitely think just myself. That's a broad topic, but like, I have connected with other birth parents and they've been like my cousin, for example, she placed a baby a couple years prior to me. So, and she did not get any post-placement care of mm-hmm. any sort. The adoption agency that she went through, they had a change of social workers and she was just lost in the shuffle. And so I like definitely got that and she didn't. And I see like the difference between that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, even so, I had the counseling sessions. I did private therapy. I, you know, went to support groups. I connected with people on the internet, mm-hmm. but I still like to this day, everyone's response when they are nice, cause you know, you get the nasty responses are like, you're so brave. You're so selfless. Like mm-hmm. you made this wonderful decision. And I just got like so stuck in my head of like, oh yeah, I am brave. Like I did this awesome thing that I like didn't even let myself be like, I'm a complete and utter shit show of a mess when it comes to my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like I put on this brave face of like, yeah, I've been to counseling. I'm doing wonderful. Like I have a social worker who loves me and I'm just over here like sitting in my bed being like, actually, I'm really sad.
Yeah, I am terrible at going to counseling because I always just want the counselor to like me. I'm like, I'm doing great. How are you? Now let's talk Kelsey, about you.
Kelsey lies to her therapist all the time.
Right? It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Shonda, we love you. I know that so many people can learn so much from your story, your background coming through foster care. Thank you for sharing that. There's so many powerful pieces in this. And I have no doubt that we will be talking more with you again. I can't wait to meet you in person finally. And I think you're amazing and we love you. We're so glad that you're here.
Thank you so much. I love you both. I'm so excited to be on here and just get to chit chat and talk adoption.
Yes. Thank you so much, Shonda.
Love you, sweetie. Stay safe.
You too.
So we'll see you next time on the Twisted Sisterhood podcast.